Greetings, friends. It's day five of Camp One Clap on the One Clap Speech and Debate podcast, and I hope you're hungry because we're about to feast on some supplemental s'mores. I'm your camp director, Lyle Wiley, and today, Counselor Bo Annan is here to talk about original spoken word poetry on supplemental s'mores here at camp. Remember to check out the One Clap socials for today's social media challenge topic. Be sure to tag our social media accounts or use the hashtag Camp1Clap23 when you post. And if you post for at least 20 days of August, I'll send you a Camp1Clap holographic sticker. If you post for all 31 days of August, I will send you a variety of 1Clap and Camp1Clap stickers, a 1Clap coaster, and a Camp1Clap magnet. Also, keep learning your ABCs of debate with Professor Graham and Kevin's new episodes that are releasing daily. Let's take a moment to learn about Bo Annan. Here's Bo's camp bio. Bo Annan is the self-defined coolest camp counselor. She is a triple Ruby and will be the team captain for Natrona County High School this coming season. She has previously competed in poetry, duo, program oral interpretation, and original spoken word poetry, with POI being her main event. She has been writing poetry since elementary school and continues to love expression through this art form. Bo is so tickled to be joining Camp One Clap as a counselor this year. Okay, friends, let's get out the marshmallows, chocolate, and graham crackers. It's time for some supplemental s'mores with Bo Annan. Welcome to One Clap Speech and Debate, Bo Annan. Hey, thanks for coming by. It's really great to have you here.
Oh, it's great to be here. Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. Also, welcome to Camp One Clap. You're going to be a counselor for us this year, especially focused on original spoken word poetry, which is super cool. Mm-hmm. Thanks for joining. What is your favorite camp activity?
Oh, it's a good question. I was a camp counselor a few weeks ago at a camp in Estes Park. No offense, my favorite camp though. I would say my favorite activity that I ended up doing with my team was something called Helium Stick, which most people don't know what that is, but basically it's a big, long stick and everyone can only use two fingers and they have to hold it up and try to lower it to the ground without dropping it. And everyone has to keep their fingers on it the entire time. It's basically impossible, which is really funny because everyone gets super frustrated and is trying to figure out how to get it to the ground, but it just keeps raising up. And so by the end of it, people are really upset, but it's really fun to watch. And at the very end, you tell them that they failed and it's the purpose and everyone is just like, oh, well, so yeah, that's my favorite one for sure.
Does sound like fun. Also sounds impossible, but that's
very impossible.
Part of the fun. Cool. So you actually work at a camp at Estes Parks. Have you done that many times or?
No, this is my first year. But it was really cool.
It's really beautiful up there. Yeah. That's a
cool. Oh, it's amazing.
How many kids were in that camp?
160 something, and each team had 10 to 12 kids on their team. So
yeah, I actually saw some pictures on socials that looked like a lot of fun. So
oh yeah,
cool. Well, let's get back to you. On a scale of 1 to 10, I like to like, ask everyone who gets on the podcast, how nerdy would you say you are? What do you think?
Definitely a 0 for sure. Not nerdy at all.
No nerd. No nerd.
No nerdy. No. I'd say probably a 7 or an 8, depending on what it is. I am pretty nerdy with some things, not all things, but some things for sure.
So what are some of the things that you super nerd out about?
Twilight.
Really?
Twilight. Yes.
This is
big
not,
fan of Twilight.
Like, this is very relevant to me in my life right now because my daughter who's 13 is really into Twilight.
And that's the right age. That's when I got into it.
Right. Well, so
the best thing in the world.
I'm sort of a hashtag Team Jacob guy, which I know he turns pretty crazy later in the series, but I like him early. Also, I'm taking a class for my master's and it's about vampires. It's really specifically about vampire studies. So we're talking about Twilight in the class. So Twilight just feels very apt right now. So you're a Twilight junkie. Yes. What else?
Yes. Suits.
Suits.
Love suits.
Because you do wear some pretty cool suits.
Oh, yeah.
I remember I like a suits. Yellow one. That was pretty awesome.
Oh, yeah.
What other kind of
suits? I have a hot pink one.
You have a hot pink one? I don't know if I've seen that one.
Yep.
That sounds pretty cool.
I got it specifically for Nationals. It's a short suit, so it's shorts and a blazer. It's the best. Yeah, love that.
That sounds amazing. How many different suits do you think you have?
I just cleaned out my closet, but before I cleaned it out, I had 17.
That's a fair amount of suits. All right,
yep,
cool.
Yep.
Well, very understandable. Also, I don't know like how nerdy it is to like be into fashion. I don't know, like and Twilight's just cool.
See, but specifically suits. Specifically suits.
All right. Well,
pretty nerdy, I'd say.
So let's hear about your speech and debate journey a little bit. Like, how did you get into speech and debate, and why stick around? What's your story?
Kind of funny. My parents told me when I went into high school that I had to pick something to do. And so my freshman year, I did sports because I was completely terrified of public speaking and had never actually heard of speech and debate. But I hated sports and ended up getting injured before our first ski meet and was super excited about it because it meant I didn't have to ski or do anything. And when sophomore year rolled around, my knee still wasn't healed. And so I was like, well, I can't do sports. And so my mom was like, well, you still have to do something. So you're going to the first speech and debate meeting. I was like, no, I'm not. but I ended up being forced to go and showed up, and I'm still here. So.
Yeah. Didn't start super well from what I can tell. Your first day was.
No, not the best. I went up to Coach Kellick and was like, I don't want to be here, just completely sobbing. She was like, oh, it's fine. We got in a circle, introduced ourselves, and talked about our star signs. And I had to sit in a circle and do icebreakers. And that was miserable. And the only reason I went back the next day was because my mom dropped me off and made me go. And she continued to do that every day. And just never got out of it.
So from like reluctant attendee forced by your parents to team captain this year, your senior year.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is pretty amazing. Hopefully you're
become
not
my favorite thing.
Hopefully you're not crying at practice every day.
Oh, so. I hope not. Yeah. Hope not.
Yeah, I hope not. So
only every other day.
Only that's pretty reasonable. Yeah. I'd say I cry every other day.
Yeah.
So what are some of the events you've competed in? A lot of events. What are some of the events that you've competed in over the last couple of years?
So my sophomore year, I started out with poetry, and did that for a little while. And then also added in POI about halfway through the year. So program oral interpretation. And then this past year I did POI again, dropped poetry completely, but added duo, and I thought my partner and I were hilarious. We were hilarious. And then original spoken word poetry. But yeah, four events. That's four, right? Yeah, that's four. See, this is why I do speech and debate, which involves talking and not math.
Understandable.
Yeah, exactly. I've only done IEs, not a debater. I was originally going to be, believe it or not, but started crying the second my potential PF partner started talking about what PF was and left. So never got into debate.
Well, it seems like you found your home in interpretation where you've had a lot of success, and I know you've had a lot of fun. And I'd really like to dive into some discussion about original spoken word poetry with you.
Cool.
Kind of a,
for sure,
a newish supplemental event at the for NSDA. I remember when they, you know, like when this kind of started, how exciting it was because it's an opportunity for students to perform their own poetry, which is pretty awesome. So let's start with your experience in the event. How many times have you had the opportunity to compete in original spoken word poetry? I know you've had some success at the national stage, which is cool.
Yes. Oh, yeah. So I've been to nationals twice and competed in original spoken word poetry for both of those. Last year, I wrote a poem about my biological mom and I titled The Unattainable Fairy Tale. It basically talked about my life and emotions growing up away from her. And it was a really special poem to me because it was like the first time I had really been able to talk about how I felt not having her in my life. And then this past year, I did one about school shootings, which is very different from the one I did before. But I talked about how hard it was living in a country where we've had more shootings than we have had days. And so it was titled Bang Bang, and it followed the story of a 10th grade girl who was terrified to go to school. And the last line ends with her death after a shooter followed her into the hallway. So very different poems, but both very special and important.
Yeah, that sounds really heavy, but also it's really
very
important.
Heavy. Yeah.
So how does original spoken word poetry work? Like, what kind of poems are we looking for here when we write a poem to compete in this event?
Anything. That's what I love so much about this event. It's really just a space where you can get to be yourself. You can talk about something important to you, special to you. It can be silly. It can be scary. It's really anything that you feel like connects to you and something you want to talk about. And so just being able to fully express who you are through a poem that you wrote yourself is like the best thing in the world. So it's my favorite event by far, but sadly only a supplemental. You basically write a 5-minute poem that's completely your words. You can have 150 words of direct quote, but for the most part, it's your thoughts, your words. And so, yeah.
Cool. Well, and I think you've kind of answered this other question I had, which is like, why is it a great event? But mm-hmm. It sounds like you're really drawn to the opportunity for someone to write anything they want and to
exactly
really create something that's theirs, which is mm-hmm. yep. pretty special. There are a couple of events in NSDA where folks get to write original stuff, but there's not many. And mm-hmm. I've had lots and lots of students want to perform their own poetry in poetry. So
yeah,
this is a pretty cool opportunity for them to do that.
It is 100%. Yeah.
So
it's really wonderful.
So like, how do you do well in this event? Like, what are some ways that you can like, you know, excel?
So for me, I read a lot of poetry beforehand. And so I think that's like the biggest thing is really knowing how poetry feels to you. My favorite authors are Amanda Lovelace and Ruby Kaur. And they are absolutely amazing. So I first started actually reading just straight poetry when I was 13, I think. And I immediately, after I finished the first poetry book I got, I went to the bookstore and bought the rest of the series. And I've been waiting for each of the new books to come out. And I have them all officially from Amanda Lovelace. And so it's just been really special getting to read each of the books and have something to connect to, because then you can go back to the books and figure out the ways that poems flow and how you want your poem to sound. So just finding an author that really connects with you is something that I think is super important. So I would say that's my number one tip for sure. Then finding things that inspire you. So just like, whether it's nature or certain life events, just finding things that you have a connection to that you can write about, not necessarily poetry, but just something that you feel like you can connect to and write literally anything, whether it's a little paragraph or just a short blurb, just anything that feels like you. Finding inspiration in anything. Then once you have something that inspires you, moving on with that topic, obviously you can change it up as much as you like. My first draft is definitely not what I took to Nationals. But after you have that, finding the rhythm of the piece and getting it to a point where you're telling a story or making something out of it, not just talking about it. So I do that through metaphors, finding metaphors that like can connect to life, So maybe talking about a tree as a person, or yeah, just really finding metaphors that make, give life to your story, basically. And then rhyming, but that's an iffy one. I like free verse a lot. That's my favorite type of poetry, but also rhyming tastefully. So having one or two lines that rhyme that like really hit hard with the audience, something that really draws them in and is like, oh, wow. That's, I think, is a really, really cool effect. So not rhyming every line by any means, unless that's what type of poetry you prefer. For me, that's not what I connect to. It feels very Dr. Seuss to me. And when talking about heavier events such as school shootings, I don't feel like that fits as well. But rhyming tastefully, having something that is like, that an audience member or a judge can really be like, yeah, okay. I think having that aspect is really, really special and such a cool addition in a piece. So those are my main tips.
Cool. So, I think those are really good tips, essentially like finding models, poetry that you like, mm-hmm. And then diving yep. into that as deep as you can, as often as you can, figuring out what inspires you, like what kind of thing mm-hmm. you could write about that you would really like enjoy staying yep. with for an extended period of time.
Oh yeah. You have to be willing to stick with it. I mean, obviously again, you can change it up, but finding something that you're not going to get tired of in a week, that's a challenge.
Yeah. Well, and but. I mean, crafting poetry is a lot mm-hmm. of work too. So it's just like,
it's a lot of work. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So you want to have something you deeply care about. So you mm-hmm. are willing to put the time in, and then like figuring out the rhythm of the piece, the way that you want it to kind of sound and feel and vibe. Mm-hmm. And then yep. in, it sounds like intentionally using like structures like rhyming and stuff, but maybe doing it yes. in a way that's like sometimes sparingly depending on your style. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Exactly. Yeah, exactly. I
think that's all really good advice. Do you have any like workshop-y kind of things that you do to try to get yourself going when you write poetry? Or are you kind of like a free flowing kind of person that just kind of attaches to something and then just jumps in, or
both? So when I was on this year's national piece, I really had no clue what I was doing or what I was going to talk about. I was like, actually before I even had gone to districts, I had been thinking about poems that were important, and I was getting ready for bed one night. I was brushing my teeth and scrolling Instagram, and there was another post about another mass shooting. And I just started sobbing because that morning my best friend had texted me that school had been closed throughout the entire city and county because there had been a shooting warning. And cops were called and the entire town was shut down. And at least in Casper, that's not how it's been. That's not what it's been like. We've had lockdowns, but teaching goes normally. And so when stuff actually starts happening in Colorado, but when we have three threats in a month in Casper and nothing happens, it was just like heartbreaking. And so I was just like, well, this is it. This is what needs to be talked about right now. And I went with it, and I didn't actually have any idea what I was writing, what I was going to write about. But that night I wrote a paragraph on my Instagram story and posted it and sent it to my coach and was like, hey, is this a good idea? Is this something I should talk about? And she was like, yes, write a poem. And I did. And then I found something that I really liked that I stuck with. So I did a heartbeat throughout my entire pieces. That's how it started. And there was like a beat throughout the entire piece, but the heart progressively got faster. And so that was like something that I knew I wanted to keep. So finding something that I wanted to have in the piece, no matter what, was really special because that's what I could always go back to if I missed a line. Like, well, this isn't what I want here. This is not the verse that I think should go here. I always knew that this is where this would be. And so having that was really helpful.
That's a really cool idea too. Like, mm-hmm. I think that's a smart strategic move to have something that you care deeply mm-hmm. about that you can kind of work around. That's really cool. Do you write a lot of poetry? Like,
Yes, not usually the length of a national's piece. So they're not usually 5 minutes long, but I've been writing poetry since elementary school. It's definitely changed a lot. It used to be strictly rhyming, but I have always really connected with poetry and how it has made me feel. And so, yeah, since elementary school, I've been writing a lot of poetry and stuck with that art form.
That's really cool. Do you have any sort of like writers group or anything like that in Casper?
Not that I know of. Not that I know of, which is sad. Although people are not like my everything. I'd rather be with my dog who's over there, reading poetry or writing and listening to music. It's like, I think best when I'm alone and able to just be with my thoughts. So even though there isn't a writer's group that I've found, I still feel the creative outlet in my own space. So.
That's really cool. What kind of dog do you have?
She is a mutt. She is a labradoodle, kind of, except she does not look like a lab and she has no doodle. So she's black with a silver back. So her dad was a silver lab and her mom was a black labradoodle. And so she's definitely mostly lab with a little bit of wave, but she looks really old because of how gray she is. And she's only two. So,
so she's a wise poetic dog.
Yes. Even very, even at only very, two. Yes.
Nice.
Very wise. That's why she's chewing on a rubber duck.
Yes. Well, you got it. You got it.
So wise.
So is there anything else you'd like to add about original spoken word poetry? What was your experience like performing at Nationals this year? Did you see some really cool pieces? Did you take some ideas?
Oh my gosh. Nationals level pieces are the best thing in the world. Like, oh, they're so incredible. You get so much emotion in a single round and it's just like, wow. I cannot believe I am in a room with these incredibly talented people. It's like, I'm from a little town in Wyoming and here I am with just amazing performers and getting to see that and getting to be at that level is just, it's so special.
Yeah, it's really neat too, because you belong there. You've broken it out rounds 2 years in a row now at Nationals, which I think is just really amazing. And congratulations to you. I hope that
thank you.
You continue to work hard on your poetry.
For sure.
All right, cool. Well, I just want to talk to you about a couple of general speech and debate things and then I'll let you be. But what's the best part of speech and debate for you? What do you think is, I mean, there's a lot of great things about this activity, but for you, what is the best part?
I think there's two main really special parts about it. I think first off, it's the community you build. Having not known any of the people in Wyoming beforehand, besides Casper people, and then all of a sudden being like, oh my God, I know this person from some little random town in Wyoming. It's amazing. You can go literally in any town in Wyoming and you're like, oh, hey, I know you. It's really special. And then you can connect with them no matter what event you do. Like, I'm friends with debaters and that's crazy to me. Like, that's not what I do, but I respect them so much because they are so incredibly talented. And I think everyone in the community just has that overall respect for each event and each other because of how talented everyone is. And I would say the next big part for me is self-expression, just getting to be in a community where you can talk about whatever is important to you. There's an event for everyone. If you want to debate, then you can debate. If you don't and you want to do poetry, then do poetry. So yeah, having a place where you can just be yourself, doing any event that you feel comfortable in, doing whatever event that makes you happy. I think that's just so special because it's truly a place for everyone. And knowing that, being a part of that is so incredibly special.
Yeah, well, I agree. I think those are really wonderful things. And it's neat that you're going to be in leadership for your team next year so you can make sure that those things stay true for the folks on your team too. So that's great.
Yeah.
I just have one more question, and it's, it's an important one. I've been searching over the years trying to figure out what the perfect speech and debate snack is.
So
for you at a tournament, what do you think? What's your go-to speech and debate snack?
Pita chips. Pita chips.
Just pita chips.
Oh, yeah.
Just
plain? Pita chips. Or with hummus, either way.
Hummus is pretty delicious. So
it is. It is.
You're 100% in on pita chips.
Yes, 100%. Yes. It's a great bus snack for those long bus rides. It's not too messy, but it's also like the best chip in the world. They're not covered in cheese dust, so your hands aren't all messy, but they're still completely delicious. And then once you're at a tournament, you can pull out the hummus and dip, and there's all sorts of different flavors. And yeah, 100% pita chips.
It's a new answer I have not heard. I'm not going to hate on it. I think pita chips are delicious, so.
They are, 100%.
Yeah. Any kind of beverage that has to go specifically with the pita chips, or is that just open?
Lemonade is always my number one choice.
Pita chips and lemonade.
Pita chips and lemonade, specifically Simply Lemonade. That's the best for sure. Yeah, lemonade and pita chips. It's my go-to.
All right, Bill. Well, I mean, yeah. I think that's it's a pretty good entry into the snack conversation. I like it.
Mm-hmm.
But thank you so much for coming and talking to me on the podcast. Congratulations on all your successes over the last couple of years.
Thank you.
And I am looking forward to seeing what happens this senior year. I think
me too.
You're going to have some amazing accomplishments, and it'll be really great for you to be in leadership for your team, which is awesome.
Thank you so much, Lyle.
Thanks, Bo. Maybe I can have you back again sometime. It'd be really
cool. Oh, yeah.
All right.
Yeah, for sure.
Thank you so much to Camp Counselor Bo Annan for sharing some delicious original spoken word poetry tips here at Camp One Clap. So what's on the agenda for camp tomorrow? Well, Counselor Izzy Garcia's highly anticipated Interp Survival Guide will debut episode number one, the preseason of a four-part series. Also, Counselor Adrian Graham will drop yet another mind-blowingly fabulous episode of Professor Graham and Kevin's ABCs of Debate. Remember, social media challenges are live for every day of camp this August. Until tomorrow, campers, may all your marshmallows be toasty and delicious, but never overly sticky. For Camp One Clap, this is Camp Director Wiley, signing off.